In the name of God, the Holy and Undivided Trinity. Amen. Trinity Sunday is the only major feast day that is based upon a doctrine rather than event. And the doctrine of the Trinity itself cannot be found explicitly in Scripture, although it is scriptural. It is the result of the church's first 250 years of reflecting on Scripture and on its experience of the self-revelation of God over us, of God with us, and of God in us. Once a year, it is beneficial for us to think deeply about the threefold nature of our God, whom the Bible reveals to us as the Holy Trinity. God is one. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu Adonai. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. This ancient confession of faith from the book of Deuteronomy is the foundation of all we have to say about God. God is one in essence, unity, being, power, holiness, and purpose. And yet this one God is revealed to us in three different ways: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are three expressions of the one reality we call God, the God Isaiah experienced in the Jerusalem temple on the day he was called to be a prophet. The Western Church has called these ways persons, not to differentiate them as individual gods, but to identify them as the three different ways God has revealed God's self to us, as well as the three different ways the three are related to one another within the unity of God's being, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And like Nicodemus, we are invited into the kingdom, into the life of this one God. That is, we are invited into the abundant, eternal life of God. And we, like Nicodemus, might wonder, where do we start? Nicodemus was a religious leader, but there is sometimes a difference between being religious, even being a religious leader, and actually knowing God. Nicodemus had a high public commitment to God on the outside, but he wanted, as many of us do, something more, something deeper, a relationship with God on the inside. Nicodemus wanted to journey into the mysterious realm that is God. And so Nicodemus comes to Jesus secretly under the cover of darkness to say, "You come from God. Everyone can see that. I want to know God too. I want to really know God. I feel like I want God in my life. But how do I begin? In other words, where do I start?" So-called evangelical Christianity likes to say we start by inviting Jesus to enter our hearts. In this church, we say that the beginning is when we enter the life of the triune God. That is declared when we are baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That's what that encounter between Nicodemus and Jesus was about that night. What Jesus told Nicodemus was, "Nicodemus, you don't need God in your life. You don't need God to come into your life. That's backwards. You need to come into God's life. God offers us God's own life as a gift and invites us to enter it. Nicodemus, you need to be in the life of God. In fact, you need to be born all over again, and this time born into God's life." "Well, I don't know how to do that," said Nicodemus. "I don't know how to be born all over again into the life of God. Where do I start?" And Jesus said, "I know you don't know. But Nicodemus, the life of God is not far away from you. The life of God has come near to you. Indeed, the life of God is sitting here speaking with you right now. The love binding together Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the passionate love flowing in the divine life, in the relationships of the Trinity, has been poured out into the world in Jesus. God so loved the world that God has given us God's only Son, given a Son not to point a divine finger in condemnation to the world, but to save it. Given a Son who has a way into the fullness of the life of God. In other words, Jesus Christ is the starting point of the journey into the life of God. This is why people are baptized not just in the name of Jesus, but in the name of the Trinity. To be baptized is not just a ceremony that's sweet and lovely, but a rebirth into a new way of life, into God's own life. Something is really happening here that is beyond our control. We put some forms and some words and some actions on it, but it is of God, and we do it because God said, if you'll do this, I'll take care of the rest. To be baptized is something that God does for us because we can't do it for ourselves. That's why no matter what age you come to the waters of baptism, you come as a helpless infant. You bring nothing to earn or to deserve the grace that is poured out upon your life and that welcome into the life of God. To be a follower of Jesus is to be drawn into a communion with the fullness of God's life and the life of God's people. The Reverend John Buchanan, not the Episcopal bishop, but a Presbyterian pastor, following 48 years of ministry, wrote an article in the Christian Century reflecting upon his ministry. He recalled baptizing a 2-year-old boy one Sunday morning. And after the child had been baptized with water, Pastor Buchanan, following the rubrics of the Presbyterian's prayer book, put his hand on the little boy's head and addressed him by name in Trinitarian language, similar to that in our own prayer book, saying, "You are a child of God, sealed by the Spirit in your baptism, and you belong to Jesus Christ forever." And unexpectedly, the little boy looked up and said, "Uh-oh." It was an amusing moment, and of course the congregation smiled or chuckled. But it was an appropriate response, wrote Pastor Buchanan, a stunning theological affirmation from the mouth of a child. And indeed it was. That uh-oh was a recognition that everything had changed, that this boy would never be the same. He didn't belong anymore just to his biological family. He had now been born all over again, this time into God's life and into God's Trinitarian family. Now he would be called to live out in the world the kind of love and self-giving that goes on among the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit constantly. He was being called in his baptism to live a different way in the world, God's way, a way that is sometimes met with rejection and scorn. So no wonder he said, uh-oh. Life would never be the same again. Andrei Rublev is considered to be one of the greatest medieval Russian painters of icons and frescoes. One of his most famous icons is that of the Trinity, in which the three persons of the Trinity are portrayed as angels on three sides of a shared table. On the fourth side of the table, there appears to be painted a rectangular hole that has puzzled art historians for centuries. This icon graces the cover of Father Richard Rohr's book, The Divine Dance, The Trinity and Your Transformation. And in that book, Father Rohr says that contemporary art historians believe that the mysterious image, that rectangle, is what remains of the glue that once held a mirror in place, suggesting that the observer of the icon was invited to be the fourth person at the table. The table is not reserved exclusively for the three, nor is the divine circle closed. We're all invited in. All creation is invited into the very life of God. And that's what the Trinity is all about. We're all invited to enter the life of God. To belong to God is to belong to the life of God, to the community of one God in three persons, and to be called to live our whole lives in the same manner that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit relate to each other. It's a very tall order. But we're given the grace to pursue that. We're given something beyond ourselves to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. God loved the world so much that God gave the only Son, Jesus Christ, who opens his arms wide to welcome us into the very life of God. And that's where the journey into the kingdom, the abundant, eternal life of God, begins. Amen.